Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Fit Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we fight our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's curious for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangster bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch, we coming in a song. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Perez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 689. Man, this is a special tribute episode to an artist, you know, that passed away. 2009 was actually murdered. You know, so we're gonna focus on her music and her career. Her name's Laboon out of North Carolina. We got some people here that actually represented her. We got Stephen Bailey on the line, and as well as Pocket. They both managed her at different times in her career up until her life was taken. So let me start off with bringing on Stephen, and then we're gonna bring on Pocket. Is this Stephen? Steven, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell Bloom's story.
Yeah, man. I want to freshen people up real quick. You reached out to me a few weeks back, and I was touched by the email, man, because you wanted to tell the story of an artist that you represented who's no longer here to tell the story herself. Man, tell me a little bit about her and, where she's from and everything, and tell me how you came to manage her.
Yeah, so Lil Boona, Kendra Nayetta Smalls, she was born October 6, 1987, originally from Florence, South Carolina, and she spent, the first part of her life up until the age of about 12 years old or so in Florence, South Carolina, and then moved to Goldsboro, North Carolina, where she grew up during her later middle school, high school years, on into her early adulthood for the rest of her life. So she's kind of a unique artist in that way. It's always been a little bit of a, in the rap game, a little bit of a North Carolina, South Carolina divide, and she was in a unique position to kind of bridge that gap and represent for the whole Carolinas. And she looked at it that way herself, and she kind of took that on as a responsibility in the way that she presented herself as an artist. So,
very talented artist.
And as far as my, arriving into the picture, long story short, I'm born and raised in Massachusetts. And really, as a teenager and, young kid, really taken, obviously with hip-hop and, with the rap game and looking for ways to get involved. And that the type of music that I had always inspired me and that I was really interested in was always Southern rap. And, this is really before Atlanta and, Southern rap really popped off. And, you know, there was a lot of hip hop going on in Boston and certainly a heavy New York influence, you know, back in the 90s. But nobody was really interested in stuff that I was doing. I was always kind of an island by myself in terms of really checking for, like, down south CDs. And I came across a Murder Dog sometime when I was in high school. I think it was about 97. And I was at the Tower Records in Boston. And I got the Murder Dog with 3-6 Mafia on the cover with the skinny red letters before it went to the bubble letters. And I just started reading that and going through there and looking it up, highlighting all the different CDs. And then I was going on CDnow.com and just buying them and, you know, building the collection and just learning more. And, you know, I was big inspiration to me was Master P, because just his kind of message of independence, independent black-owned businesses. And, you know, I'm white, but the idea of independence and self-determination really resonated with me, and I just internalized, you know, his whole philosophy. And I was, as soon as possible, I was looking for a place to exit to the South, and it just came about that I was able to go to college running cross country down in North Carolina at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And I really told everybody that I was trying to get there, you know, for athletics. But the truth of the matter was I was really just going there because it was a better place to get more music. That was really my motivation to just get down there and get into the scene in the fall of 99. And, you know, I got out of there and into my first job out in Eastern North Carolina through some middle part there where I was linking up with some people who really got me started in the game, the latter part of my time in college and coming out. Wally Coyote, Nighttown Personality on 102 Jams, which was a hugely influential station in to me personally and in that whole Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point area serving that market. And he just made a lot of connections for me with different people to be able to develop relationships, which when I got out to Eastern North Carolina, I already had a real network of people who were looking out for my best interests. I arrived in Kinston, North Carolina in May of 2005, pulled in to King's Barbecue parking lot right there on Highway 70, which is like the main route through that part of Eastern North Carolina, connecting Goldsboro, Kinston, and New Bern, and met Ski Money, who's like a lifetime friend of mine now. I'd never met the man in my life, but just based on the recommendation from other people who've been supporting me, selling mixtapes, and in the meantime, Reg, Ice Medallion, other people from Kinston, we just were able to make that family connection based off those relationships. And it was through Ski Money and attending the talent show in association with my job at the radio station, selling advertising, that I first saw Buna at a talent show put on by Big Brothers Records, which was an independent record label out of Mount Olive, North Carolina, in like late 2005. And just kind of, you know, kept in contact with her, kept tabs on her, met her again at another club event in Greenville in like early 2006. And, you know, it wasn't really a tight connection. I was doing my thing with Ice Medallion, traveling with him. He was a hybrid rapper singer, kind of been, if I could compare him to somebody nowadays who has that kind of delivery, it's kind of like Derez Deshawn type of approach, and which was really unique back at that time. And from there, I was actually looking for one of my clients selling radio ads. I was looking for models, and I remember meeting Buna and her friend, and, you know, she was gorgeous, and just reached out to Ski to put me in touch with her to get her down to the store to do like this modeling gig, and they would, you know, pay her to show up. And so I went and picked her up at her house and took that like 50-mile drive from Goldsboro down to Havelock. And during that car ride, she told me that she was a rapper, and she popped in a CD which had Shut the Fuck Up on it, which had already been produced, and she was working with Big E and Pappy you know, local producers out of Goldsboro. And it just hit me, and I was like, oh, shit, this girl spits fucking fire. You know, it was just a chain of events after that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, I want to hear, you know what I'm saying, I want to hear from Pocket as well. But let's go to a song, you know, by Lil Boona real quick. The first one, I got three of them, you know what I'm saying. We got Shut the Fuck Up, Out With the Old, and I'm Rolling. I'm going to go with I'm Rolling first, man, but I want to save Shut the Fuck Up for when I have both of you guys on, so you guys can chop it up about that. But this one's I'm Rolling, man. Why don't you kind of intro this song for me?
Yeah, this song, after we dropped More Than Ready, which was her first full-length mixtape, we got the opportunity to get an article in Play Magazine, which was an independent magazine coming out of Charlotte at the time, Robert Wilson. And we had a feature article in there, and part of that, he put us in contact with his producer, Jaden Cash, and she went in the studio and recorded this single, I'm Rollin'. This was the first single that she was pushing after her first full-length mixtape, which was 18 tracks, More Than Ready. So this doesn't appear on More Than Ready. It's the first song after that, and the first one she was really pushing for radio with.
Definitely, definitely. This is Lil Boona with I'm Rolling. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace to her. We're going to let her talent speak for itself right here, and we're definitely going to represent for her. Don't go nowhere. She opened up for Gucci Mane at the 2009 Southern Entertainment Awards, you know, and she was also in Street Masters magazine. I think I might remember her, Steven, because You know what I'm saying? I wrote for Street Masters. So I'm sure I came across her interview. I know it wasn't done by me, but I know I came across it at some point. I know I heard of her too, because you know music just,
and, you know,
just circulates around.
I didn't even realize. Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I didn't even realize that about the Street Masters interview until I just listened like a couple days ago to your background interview on the show. And I heard you mention Street Masters, and then something clicked, and I was going through old notes in preparation for this interview, and I saw it written down there, and then the vision popped into my head of, like, the gray cover of that issue or something, and, it all came together.
Yeah, definitely. But she was, you know what I'm saying, doing a lot of big things, and making a big name for herself, you know, that unfortunately, you know, tragically she lost her life. You know, people listening that don't know about her, they're going to want to know what happened to her and, you know what I'm saying, how, you know, when did she pass exactly? I know it was 2009, but, you know, what went down?
Yeah, so May 4th. 2009, she was shot coming out of a country club, not a country club, but I mean a country ass club, down in like Mount Olive, which is about 10 miles south of Goldsboro. And the circumstance, I mean, it's an unsolved case. The circumstances around her death are officially, you know, in dispute, but I know that, you know, after I watched the, because I had not been managing her for some time at that time. We had, I couldn't keep up with the pace, you know, to be honest with you, but, she, if you read between the lines in some of the interviews in the documentary Angel with an Attitude that's up on YouTube, it's my understanding that she might have been targeted because she witnessed like something that she wasn't supposed to see, and she never told anybody about what she saw. But it's my understanding is that she might have witnessed like maybe some child abuse, and she was targeted for that reason because people were worried that she might say something. But I don't have the full story, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's tragic. You know, nonetheless, you know, she has you guys here to represent for her and keep her legacy alive. I'm going to bring on Pocket, who was manager at the time, I believe, of her passing, if I'm not mistaken. Pocket, you there?
Man, I'm here, man. I'm here. Y'all bringing me back. Y'all walking me back down memory lane, man.
Man, well, welcome to the show. I'm honored to be able to do a show for you guys like this, because she's not here to be able to speak for herself, but you guys are kind enough to do so. Pocket, when did you meet her? And you know what I'm saying? What can you tell me about Lil Buna?
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, man, I had just came home from prison, man. I told myself I was going to jump back in music. And, man, it was just so crazy because I had called, like, you know, I used to be up on the Ski Beats. So I called Ski. Ski said he's back in New York. So I catch a bus, a train in New York just to chill with him for about a week. I'm up there with him, and we talk about, man, let's pick up another artist. So I'm looking all around, and everybody just kept, and I kept calling, like, young cats, and they kept saying, man, that little girl, Lil Buna, is fire. So I called her out the blue. You know what I'm saying? Well, MySpace page then. I hit on the message from MySpace, and, you know, she was just like, y'all lying. This ain't no Pocket and Ski Beat. She had already heard of me before, so I'm like, yes, it is. So, you know, it's from that day on, when I came back to North Carolina, Skeet came back to North Carolina, I just started working with her. You know what I'm saying? And next thing you know, me and her were hanging out every day. That was like my little sis. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about hood, gutter, everything. Like, you know, the stories with Boona is so crazy when it came to me and her that it was just, you know, man, we had a ball, put it that way. We had a ball. We did what we had to do. You know what I'm saying? Anytime Boona ain't like nobody, she go in the studio and shut it down by doing songs, and it just be so crazy because her energy, her passion, her hustle, her grind was one of the – I ain't never, ever – I stopped doing music for a long time after Boona got killed. And then when I came back, I just kept saying, I'm going to do this for Boona because I know me and Boona was going to achieve big things. You know what I'm saying? And I just start going harder and harder, and then I just start putting records together. And then, you know, 3 years ago, man, you know, all my love to Boona for what I did, I put together that record with Colonel Lyle called California with T.I. and everybody up there. You know, it was a hit record. And I dedicate all my energy, everything I do, I dedicate it to Boona because, you know, I keep going to this day because of her. Because, you know, if it won't work, when you've seen her, you've seen me. When you've seen me, except for that day. That day, it hurt my feelings so bad because she called me. The day she got killed, she called me and said, let's go to church, bro. And I ain't been home for about a month. I've been running the streets, and I just told her, my girl told me I couldn't come out. So she was just like, she going to church. So she went to church. Me and her supposed to went to church that day. Then I guess she started hanging out with them girls or whatever. I didn't even know because she didn't even call me and said she was going to a club because I would have probably would have said, nah, man, don't even go to no club. But she didn't call me. I guess she got with them, and that's when all that mess. And to be honest, like, to this day, her phone called my phone right after it happened. And even though she was shot in the head, she said, help me, bro. And it was like, it was left on my voicemail. It was left on my, because I was asleep at the time. I didn't pick up the phone. So when I looked on my phone, I said, damn, what the hell Boona calling me at 4-something in the morning for? You know what I'm saying? I said, I know she still ain't out. And when I called back, that's when her sister was like, she at the hospital in Pitt, in Greenville. She got shot in the head, and it just, well, that was the worst. And I done lost a lot of family members. I think that was the worst day of my life. I didn't even cry the day that she died. It hurt me when I had to go in there with her mama and help pick out a casket. I couldn't believe I was picking out a casket for Boona. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I called everybody up, man. I called my bro Rico Barino to sing for her. Like, I just calling everybody, like, bro, can y'all do this for me? Can y'all do this for me? You know what I'm saying? And everybody just rallied around. Chuck T came through. Like, everybody rallied around, man. It was so much love for her that it was crazy. And people still got a lot of love for her to this day.
Yeah. I know Ski Money called me that morning, the next morning, and told me the news. And I was in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru in my car about to go to work up in Massachusetts. And he called me, and I just was like, what? And I couldn't process it. And I was, like, already going to work. So I drove to work, and I was selling cars at the time. And I walked into the car lot, and I was like, walking around the building for like 10 minutes, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I ended up just going home and like walking around my living room in circles, you know, for a couple of days. I went down there to the funeral, and it was so beautiful, you know, to build on what Pocket's saying. Like, the community came out, you know, the whole hip hop community from North Carolina, you know, was out there deep. You know, a lot of people, and obviously friends and family, you know, who knew her personally. Just a lot of people, a lot of support. She had a lot of support behind her. It was a big movement building behind her that had been building for years just based on, like, what Pocket's talking about, that grind. A lot of people, artists, it's like a cliche. They say, oh, I go hard, I grind, you know. But she was literally waking up every morning you know, I know during the time that I was manager, and I know I can probably safely say during the time Pocket was too, like daily, the call comes in early, like 8 a.m. What are we going to do today? What work are we putting in? What's the move? You know, it was there always had to be a move every day. There was like no laziness in her approach. It was almost like she, I hate to say this, but I've had like 10 years to process this. It's almost like she knew that like her time was limited, and she worked that way because nobody worked at that frantic of a pace that I've seen anybody. You know, there was, she had her hand in everything. She was very much involved in every facet of artist development. She was heavily involved in building her brand. She had a lot of strong opinions about, you know, the way that she wanted to be represented, the way that she wanted to be seen, even down to, like, when we developed a logo for her. And this was some of the advice that she did listen to me, because she's very hard-headed. If she didn't want to hear what you had to say, she wasn't going to hear it. But, like, keeping the logo the same and standardized across every, you know, digital place that it popped up, every physical flyer, keeping that brand really strong. And she was really committed to that. You see that in, like, the surviving materials. And just, like, her whole approach that she was always going to be dressed to the nines every time she stepped out, you know, have her outfit put together. She's always going to have her show put together. And she's just going to talk to as many people as possible. And when she gets into the studio, she's just going to go for it. I mean, when we recorded More Than Ready, she was in the studio at the Cypher Studio in Kinston nonstop for 3 days. She never stopped recording. Other people were coming in and out. I was coming in and out. I was taking runs over to the lunchbox to get her hot tea and bring it back for her so she could keep her voice, because she's just writing, recording. And she was in there with the engineer, who's also, you know, no longer with us. Rest in peace, Pepe Mac. And he was the engineer recording the whole More Than Ready CD. And just like she had all these songs in her, and she just had to get them out. And that was the thing. And that was a mix. That was a mix CD. There's two original beats on there and 16 industry beats on the 18-track mixtape. And it was nominated for a Southern Entertainment Award as Album of the Year. And it was up against a bunch of national releases like Trill Fam and, you know, six-figure, seven-figure budget albums. And it was a mixtape, and it was on there for SEA Album of the Year just because of how far it spread and, you know, how much and how much effort she put behind it. And just the strategy that we did to saturate the market with that tape, because we were leaving, you know, no stone unturned. We were really had a really clear strategy that we were doing both digitally and in the street in terms of distributing that mixtape. If I could speak on that real quick, is something that I think is like one of her big revolutions that she kind of brought to the game. So
yeah, for sure.
When we were promoting More Than Ready, at the time, this is in the MySpace era. This is like, you know, 2006, 2007. And MySpace used to have this tactic where you could search for people, if you remember the drop down menus, and they had some like some stuff that was meant to connect with people on like a dating level, but we were using it to target influencers before anybody had the name influencer. So we know Boona, she's, you know, 4'10, 90 pounds, soaking wet. She's got that coming to the game from that perspective, you know, hot girl, you know, young girl vibe. So we used the drop-down menus to find, like, she was 19 years old, to find other 18 to 20-year-old women with slim body type, which was her, and just, like, specifically targeting, you know, bad bitches, for the lack of a better term, and reaching out to them who are, you know, that they're going to be popular, and using them to spread the music through their social circles. And we would offer them the CD, and so she'd reach out to them, develop a relationship with them, and then mail off a handful of CDs, you know, 5 to 10 CDs to whatever influential bad bitch is out there, you know, in her social circle. And we were specifically looking for people that were in secondary markets that were not as often looked over. And I got that from reading Murder Dog, you know, true story, reading those like Wendy Day, Rap COINTELPRO columns about, you know, not skipping over the small towns. And so we would work geographically adjacent markets. Like we targeted like I-10. So we do like Pensacola, Mobile, Biloxi, and we'd find the right influencer. We'd start messaging them and then spreading through digitally on MySpace, each of those cities, and then developing the relationship and mailing off the CDs. And then for the dudes, we were looking for people who were posting like pictures with the heavy Chevys, you know, Caprice Classics, things like that. And looking for those dudes that had the cars that would be jamming the CD. So then we did the same thing for men on that side. So we covered men and women that we knew were going to be influential, and then targeted those geographically and worked through the entire South that way, and just working our way city to city with that strategy. And then after we seeded it digitally, we did as much as we could to try and travel and you know, serve those markets in person. And then also then after we laid that groundwork, we started reaching out to the radio stations, and knowing what I knew working in the radio station, you can't just go to the program director because they're going to be like, oh, you know, no one wants to be the first one to break a record. So you go through the mix show DJs, you show them the buzz you're already getting in the streets, and then, you know, start just try to work it into the mix show. And we would do that systematically, and that's how, like, it did, the I-10 corridor. But we didn't even take the I-10 corridor all the way. We wouldn't even go to New Orleans. We'd just do those secondary cities along the way. And then I had a friend, because I worked at the radio station in New Bern, and I knew a DJ who I'd worked with there who had since gone to Louisiana, and he was in Shreveport at the time. So we got it going on KMJJ in Shreveport on the mix show, and then used that as a hub to reach out and work around, like, Tyler, Texas, Monroe, Louisiana, and Little Rock. And that's how we went and met up with some other people in Little Rock. And that CD must have got burned and distributed heavy in Little Rock, because people were always calling my cell phone on the CD. I was getting called all the time from Little Rock talking about, hey, how can I get on, you know, whatever kind of calls people make. Just like was really heavily distributed in that like architect zone too. So that's how it all came together from a marketing standpoint, and that's how we were able to build the buzz, you know, outside of North Carolina, across the whole South.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to go to the Shut the Fuck Up song by Lil Boona, and then we're going to come back. I want to chop it up with you guys for a little bit more. Definitely want to hear from Pocket as well. And, man, thank you guys so much for reaching out to me to do this show. Man, man, why don't y'all intro this one? Pocket, you can go ahead and intro this one. This is called Shut the Fuck Up.
Got you. Hey, this day Shut the Fuck Up by Lil Boona, man. It go hard.
You better check the fuck up. Hey, yeah. Hey, hey.
Shut the fuck up. This is a special tribute show we're doing. You know what I'm saying? We got her managers, Stephen Bailey and, you know what I'm saying, Pocket on the line. I want to give you guys a chance to each share another memory about her before we get out of here. Man, let's start with you, Stephen. Then I'm going to let Pocket close the show. Man, thanks again for bringing her to my attention. She's a very talented young lady, gone way too soon. Man, feel free, brother. Share a fond memory of her for our listeners.
Oh, man, it's crazy, man, because, man, I got so many, man. Like I said, me and this girl were together every day. So it's so many memories. So many. Let me see. Y'all talking about the NCAA, where I remember when she did that. Let me see. Man, we used to go in this Ski Beat studio. We did her birthday party at Ski Beat studio, and she recorded like 4 or 5 songs. And she did that song, This Is Crazy, that the single that we dropped. Nobody, like, I sent Chuck Mad Records, and when I sent him that Chuck T Mad Records, when I sent him that record, he went crazy. He said, "Boy, y'all struck one with this one." And I remember she wrote the verse, and me and Ski was like, "Nah, I go back and write another one." She was like, I ain't writing another verse. Da, da, da. And next thing you know, she went back in there and wrote another one. But she was just so, man, it was just, we had so much fun doing music. You know what I'm saying? And that was the key to everything. We just had so much fun doing music.
Yeah, definitely gone way too soon. I'm sorry for your loss, man. We got Stephen back on the line. Stephen, man, thanks again for bringing this to our attention. I'm going to let you close out the show, brother.
Anyway, we can get that out with the old and with the new, before we shut it down?
Yeah, we're going to actually close the show out with that, man. So
okay,
when you're done reflecting on her, if you can, just go from that right into introing that song.
Yeah, so, I mean, one memory that I had that I want to speak on is going up to Greensboro for her 19th birthday bash at Montego Bay. You know, I kind of told him an intro that, you know, Wile E. Coyote was really instrumental in, you know, getting my toe in the door and developing the relationships that led to me being in a position to have this managing of Buna. And so that was always, if you're in North Carolina in the early 2000s, Montego Bay on Sunday night, that was the place to be. The Bay on Sunday. And this is up in Greensboro. Greensboro to Goldsboro is probably like a good 3-hour haul. And so I had to work the next morning. And we were driving out there. And I was driving around so much doing sales for the radio station. I got so many speeding tickets, I got my license revoked. So I had a driver driving us up to Greensboro. And, you know, shout out to Pepe Mac, who I mentioned earlier. So he provided us with a driver. And we got up there, and she, you know, did her walkthrough, did her meet and greets, you know, had a birthday bash up at Montego Bay. And was really, you know, that was her big arrival outside of Eastern North Carolina to the rest of North Carolina on the scene. And everybody was like, who's she? You know, what is this? You know, Lil Buna birthday bash. And so we come back and, you know, it's like an all-nighter, you know, turn and burn. I got to get into my sales meeting on Monday morning. And I took the risk. So I dropped her off. She got in and at her house. I had to take the risk to drive back to the station for my Monday morning sales meeting. I get in there, and I had a few flyers left over. I get out of the sales meeting. I get pulled over. I dropped a few flyers on the counter of because they had the album on the back of the flyer. So I dropped them on the counter of a couple stores in New Bern, and I ended up kind of parking my car, just jumping out real quick. Leaving the car running and the door open, and I was parked a little erratically. So when I came back out of the store, the police were standing around my car and said, you know, license and registration. I didn't have a license. I had my license revoked because I didn't have my driver that morning. So I got locked up that morning, and, you know, eventually I'm stuck in the holding cell all day. On that, driving with license revoked, and, you know, Ski Money came and bailed me out, and I got out, and I lost my job the next morning. And after I lost my job the next morning, that is when we went into the studio the next day and for that 3-hour session to record More Than Ready. That's when it really popped off, because we were traveling around North Carolina doing a lot of shows, but that's when we went full time, all out, and that's when things started to happen so quickly when I had no distractions from a full time job. And, you know, Buna, she was just going hard, putting in that work. But this last song that we're about to get into, this is really Pocket's creation, because this is Pocket and his other artist, MOS, who had a huge buzz in North Carolina. Pocket, you take it from here and talk about this.
Yeah, you there? You there, Pocket? I think he.
All right.
Wait, here he is. There he is.
I'm here.
Hey, Pocket.
I had my phone. I had the phone on mute. I had some noise in the background. But yeah, you talk about. Yeah, this is the. Which song is this, Steve?
This
out
is
with
out
the old.
With the old, in with the new, new.
Out with the old, in with the new, with M.O. You know what I'm saying? M.O. was a great mentor to Buna. You know, when MO dropped the game related drug related and got signed to Jive, he talked to Buna about how to create records, and he was hard on artists when they did songs with him. So she went in and knocked that song out with one take. So you already know that was pure talent. But yeah, this is out with the old, in with the new. Come off MO mixtape.
That's what's up.
Second mixtape.
Once again, rest in peace, Lil Boone. Thank you, Stephen Bailey. Thank you, you know what I'm saying, Pocket, for taking the time out to do this show. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna leave this leave out here without with the old and with the new, man. Peace.
The cartel.
Bang.
Out with the old, in with the new year, new pussy, new month, new car, new ice, who run, we do, and you don't want that, 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 now you don't want that, I'm the champion, fuck the contender, second place. Nobody remembers that sold in coke. I mix it up like a blender and proceed to make it flip like a gymnast. I'm a hustler, baby. If you pay me, don't play with my tater. Like the shit's all gravy. My city embraced me. Cheap road made me. Veronica raised me. The Devo trained me. That bitch Keisha played me. This music should save me. That white girl take me. She forever my lady. My switch is all hazy. Bottle all rosy, my fifth off Stacy, case the one trying smoking. My wrist real flaky, neck all frosty. My new bitch like Khalid, she so bossy. And I'm so gangster, pull up in that new big body Benz, it's business. Out with the old, in with the new year, new pussy, new month, new car, new ice, who run, we do. And you don't want that, 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 now you don't want that.
Okay, out with the old, in with the new. So bump your old.